Do you remember playing hide and seek? The most thrilling moment came when the seeker finished counting and called out, "Ready or not, here I come." It didn't matter how well you hid, when you heard those words, your child's heart began to race, knowing sooner or later, you'd be discovered. Well, welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries. And with me today, as always, is our Internet Evangelist, Dr. Nathan Jones. Friends, right now, in this very moment, Jesus Christ is making that same declaration to the world, "Ready or not, here I come." The Bible is unambiguous. He is coming back.
And Tim, the return of Jesus is a soon-coming reality that Christians should really get excited about. We look forward to being united with Jesus and our fellow believers, witnessing His victory over Satan, experiencing His perfect governance, and enjoying the restoration of heaven and earth, just to name a few future prophecies that are promised to believers. But the sad reality is that most people don't think about the future and what the Bible says will happen. So today, we're answering this question, what if the Bible is true?
You know, too many people avoid this question in their lifetime and come face to face with Jesus when it is too late. They change the channel when Bible prophecy comes up. They dismiss it as speculation, or they stick their heads in the sand like an ostrich, assuming that what they don't examine won't affect them. But here's the problem with that approach. If the Bible has been right about everything predicted so far, what do we do with what it says is still to come? What does it mean for believers and for unbelievers if Jesus really is who He claimed to be?
Today we're going to wrestle with these questions as we examine the staggering track record of fulfilled Bible prophecy. Then we'll turn our attention to what the Bible says is yet to come, so stay with us. In the meantime, we'd like to give you an invitation to come to our website at christinprophecy.org. You'll find a wealth of information about God's prophetic word. Our radio archive is also there, our Lamplighter magazine, and many other resources to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So check it out, christinprophecy.org, and if we've been a blessing to you, please click that donate button. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment.
Here at Christ in Prophecy, we want everyone to know that Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. So, to stay up to date about unfolding events, get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, and dig deeper into God's prophetic word, check out our free bi-weekly Lamplighter magazine. You can easily sign up to have Lamplighter magazine delivered directly to your email inbox when you go to christinprophecy.org. Sign up today.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio as we discuss, what if the Bible really is true? Well, Nathan, before anyone can take seriously what the Bible says about the future, they have to reckon with what it has already said about the past. The proof of Bible prophecy is in the specific, verifiable predictions made centuries before their fulfillment. So let's start with a prophecy that demonstrates the global historical accuracy of Bible prophecy.
Yeah, these fulfilled prophecies really demand an answer. And the first one I'd like to bring up is the destruction of the city of Tyre. You know, folks, in the 6th century BC, we can read in Ezekiel 26 that there was a prophecy of the great Phoenician city. Phoenicia is what is Lebanon today. And the city was called Tyre. And the prophecy was that it would be destroyed, its stones and timbers would be thrown in the sea, and its site made into a bare rock. Well, 300 years later, Alexander the Great, he scraped the rubble of Tyre, he leveled it to the ground, he threw all the rocks and things into the water, and he went out to the island where the main city of Tyre was, and he defeated it. So that island fortress was destroyed. It was considered impregnable, but Alexander the Great did it just as Ezekiel prophesied it would happen.
Well, there's another great example of Bible prophecy being fulfilled, and that is the first coming of Jesus Christ. As we've talked about in recent weeks, Isaiah 53, for example, was written approximately 700 years before the birth of Jesus, and it describes a suffering servant who would be despised and rejected, pierced for our transgressions, assigned a grave with the wicked, and yet be with a rich man in his death, and whose soul would be made an offering for sin. The New Testament is the fulfillment of this portrait in its precise and verifiable detail.
Yeah, there are 300 general prophecies, 109 specific prophecies that are fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. For instance, Micah 5:2 names Bethlehem as the birthplace of the Messiah. Not just any Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephrathah, a Bethlehem in the south, not Bethlehem Zebulon in the north. Also, there's Zechariah 9:9, which foretold the king riding into Jerusalem on, not a horse, but a donkey, just as Jesus did. Zechariah 11, 30 pieces of silver would be used to betray Jesus, and that's exactly what Judas Iscariot got paid. So, folks, there are, again, 109 specific prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, and all of them came true.
You know, you made the point a couple of weeks ago, Nathan, that Peter Stoner did some calculations on the probabilities of these various prophecies, and he took just a handful. So, for instance, you say how many people have been crucified in human history versus the population. Well, there's a number that you can estimate. How many people were born in Bethlehem versus the rest of the world? So, with just a handful of these prophecies, the odds of one man being able to fulfill even a handful is astronomical, and yet Jesus Christ fulfilled them all. Well, we can turn to other examples in Scripture, including the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. In Matthew 24:2, Jesus looked at Herod's temple that had taken years to construct. Obviously, Herod had enlarged the second temple that was built in the era of Ezra and Nehemiah. He wanted to make it grand and glorious, make it great again, so to speak, because he was a great builder, and really, he wasn't doing it to honor the Lord. He was doing it to make a name for himself. But Jesus looked at this tremendous construction project that had begun before his birth and was just coming to completion when his ministry began, and declared, "Truly, I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And we know that that prophetic word was fulfilled in AD 70.
What's interesting is when the Romans in 70 AD finally overthrew Jerusalem, there was such furor, and the troops were just so crazed. They went out and they slaughtered everybody they could in Jerusalem. But when they got to the temple, they set it on fire, and all the gold melted and dripped between the cracks of the stones. So what did the Roman soldiers did? They pried up the stones, they threw them over the ledge, and literally, as Jesus prophesied, as it's always literally, not one stone was left upon another.
You know, you can go to Jerusalem today, and we do. We take pilgrims there, and when we visit the old city of Jerusalem, you can see where those stones were thrown down from the Temple Mount and landed on the paving stones below. And even as they have excavated and cleared away some of the rubble, they've left some of those original temple stones, including one with an inscription that reads, essentially, "From here, the priest would blow the trumpet." That was a cornice stone. And so you can see evidence with your own eyes of that prophetic fulfillment. Well, Nathan, there's another evidence right before our eyes, that is the existence of Israel as a modern nation state today.
Yes, the prophecy about Israel being restored as a nation again. And folks, this is after 1900 years. You know, just a side note, if anyone says that Israel is an accident of history today, is incorrect. What nation comes back from the dead after 1900 years when the people were scattered to all the four corners of the earth? What people survive as a people group, their ethnicity, when they're among other peoples for 2,000 years? Yet the Jewish people retain their identity, their religion, their culture, and they all, they're still returning, I should say, back to the land of Israel in May 14th, 1948. They became a nation again. So as prophecies in Ezekiel 36 and 37, Isaiah 11 and Amos 9 all came true in the restoration and rebirth of the nation of Israel.
You know, the prophet asked the question, can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? And the answer is yes. It was unknown when that would occur for 1900 years, even of the church age history. And yet, just in the last century, that prophecy came true. And the world watched it happen, and we can still see evidence right before our eyes today.
That's why Peter wrote, "We have a prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place," 2 Peter 1:19. Folks, the Bible's track record of fulfilled prophecy is that lamp. So coming up, we're going to turn to current events and ask, what does today's world look like through the lens of what Scripture says? In our next segment, what's really going on? Stay with us.
In addition to this broadcast, Christ in Prophecy offers a fascinating weekly TV program that digs deeper into God's prophetic word. Christ in Prophecy TV airs on several networks and online to give you a biblical perspective on unfolding events. Find out what's happening with AI, Middle Eastern politics, the United States, and so much more when you watch Christ in Prophecy TV, available now at christinprophecy.org.
Well, as we address what's really going on today, we'd like to give you an insight in something that we provide readers that are connected with Lamb & Lion Ministries every other month, and that is our Lamplighter magazine. Our Lamplighter magazine is filled with articles focusing on Bible prophecy and on current events, but there are two pages that we specifically address the signs of the times. Nathan, for many years now, following the outline that Dr. Reagan provided, our founder several years ago, we highlight the signs of nature, signs of society, spiritual signs, signs of world politics, signs of technology, and of course, the greatest sign of all, the sign of Israel.
Absolutely. Well, let's take one of the spiritual signs that our Lamplighter magazine highlighted, and that's the fact that teachers and librarians, who would think that this is in our time, are fiercely fighting to keep pornographic and perverted books in our public school systems. You know, folks, these materials are even banned in prisons, yet they're being forced to be shared with elementary students. It's clearly a sign of spiritual degradation in our society.
You know, from spiritual degradation, obviously, we see manifestation of society's breakdown. Every other month, we highlight some of these examples. So, for instance, just recently in Finland, I know that's in Europe, but these kind of decisions implicate themselves in other countries, including our own, when courts and justices begin citing other court cases. But Finland's Supreme Court confirmed the conviction of a conservative member of parliament and a Lutheran bishop for what they deemed hate speech. What was their crime? A booklet published in 2004 within the church, critical of LGBTQ agenda, entitled Male and Female, He Created Them. So anyone that bucks the trend of the current woke agenda is deemed to be hateful, including Christians just describing what Scripture points out as God's created order.
Absolutely. Well, when it comes to signs of technology, for instance, we're finding that robots might soon be offering physical and emotional companionships for people who want to be unburdened by human spouses. So what we're talking about, and this is kind of being led in Japan, is sex bots, where people don't even want to procreate anymore. They're going to go for robots, or they have ChatGPT girlfriends or AI girlfriends. It's a complete breakdown of human relationships.
It certainly is. When we talk about world politics, folks, you can see with your own eyes that today's headlines are beginning to swirl in a direction to fulfill what the Bible prophesies will be the outline of nations in the end times. So even the American-led coalition known as NATO that held the USSR in check for years and has been a rock of stability for the last 75 years is beginning to unravel before our eyes. Turkey, the lone Muslim nation who claims membership, is expressing bellicosity. In other words, they are expressing a desire to engage in hostilities toward Israel in particular, and they are drifting away from Western Europe and into alignment with Russia. That is exactly what is foretold in Bible prophecy, that Turkey and Russia, together with Persia and another coalition of nations, an axis of evil, will come against Israel in a war we call the Ezekiel 38 war. So we are seeing, again, that alignment happening right before our eyes.
And when you think that Israel was founded in May 14th, 1948, yet now it has the 15th most powerful military in the entire world. It's shaking up the Middle East. It's bringing democracy to the Middle East. This, folks, is definitely a sign of the end time, which we call in the Bible prophecy circles the super sign or God's prophetic time clock. It's the one sign that Jesus said that generation, that time period, that era that saw Israel return as a power, as a nation, when it's reborn, that would be the time period in which Jesus Christ returns. So that definitely gives Israel the title, the super sign.
You know, every other month, as we said, our Lamplighter magazine gives you just some of the highlights of the signs of the times that are being manifest all around us. But as we've discussed many times, one of the greatest indicators is that these signs are converging like never before. As we've documented, 100 years ago, people who believed in the prophetic word of God were looking for signs, and there weren't many to be found in that day and age. And yet today, they are increasing in frequency and in intensity, and they are converging like never before. So folks, we hope maybe you will join us, partnering with us as ministry partners. We call them prophecy partners, supporting the outreach and the proclamation of Jesus' return that Lamb & Lion Ministries provides. Perhaps you want to subscribe to the Lamplighter magazine. For only $25 a year, we'll be glad to mail it to you in print edition domestically, or you can get the electronic copy for free. Just go to christinprophecy.org. We'll be right back to continue our discussion What if the Bible is true?
4 decades ago, Lamb and Lion Ministries was launched by Dr. David Reagan. And today we are continuing his legacy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ to an international audience through TV, radio, and online. We're fulfilling the great calling to proclaim the truth of Scripture from beginning to the end. Find out more when you go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. I'm Nathan Jones. I'm here with our director, Tim Moore. Folks, the Bible has been 100% right about the past. The present is unfolding exactly as Scripture said it would. So that brings us to the most urgent question of all. What does the Bible say is coming next, and what does it mean for you?
Well, what the Bible says is coming next is the rapture. We teach and absolutely believe that there is no other prophetic sign that must occur prior to Jesus Christ coming to retrieve his bride, the church, and bring us to a place he's been preparing in his Father's house. Jesus promised in John 14:2-3, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so, Nathan, for the believer, the rapture is the ultimate rescue, the moment when Jesus will call all of us, his church, home before the wrath of God is poured out on the earth.
And the wrath of God being poured out on the earth is the next prophetic event, and that's what's called the tribulation. It's Daniel's 70th week prophecy. It's 7 years. We're like the flood when God poured out his wrath on the world by water. He's going to pour it out over 7 years in a time period known as the tribulation. Jeremiah 30:7 called the time of Jacob's trouble. The second half is just going to be horrific to the Jewish people. We're going to see a rise of a one-world ruler. There's going to be 21 judgments of Revelation punishing the world. Now, if you're raptured, you're in heaven, so you won't be able to see any of this. But the world will go through the tribulation, and people will finally get down on their knees and really choose Jesus Christ or not. The Bible even says by the end of the tribulation, every single person would be given the gospel.
Nathan, I know there's a lot of dispute over whether or not the rapture happens at the beginning, the middle, or the end of the tribulation, but the Scriptures themselves say there is now no condemnation for those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. That's Romans 8. And so if there is no condemnation, why would any believer need to be subjected to the wrath of God? Yes, in this life we have little t tribulations, troubles, as Jesus foretold, but not the wrath of God that is poured out on an unrepentant and rebellious world. Why? Well, because it is deserved. But also, even in the midst of wrath, God is hoping to motivate some to seek the mercy that he offers through salvation in Jesus Christ. As you said, Nathan, there will be a clear and definitive choice given to every man and woman on the earth during the tribulation, just as there is today. And so many will come to repentance, but some, even as they recognize that they are suffering under the wrath of the Lamb, will shake their fist at heaven, curse God, and quite frankly, wish they could die.
And yet, the Bible also talks about the martyrs from every tribe, tongue, and nation, millions upon millions, who will get saved in that time, either through the witnesses of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, the two witnesses who serve in the first half of the tribulation in Jerusalem, a gospel angel that's going to bring the eternal gospel across the globe. The Lord wants people to come and turn to him. And folks, you know, sometimes life has to get really rough before a person bends a knee and calls out for Jesus to save them. And that's what the tribulation is all about.
It sure is. Well, folks, after the tribulation, and so we are not anticipating the tribulation, we're warning those upon whom the wrath of God abides to flee from that wrath and into the loving arms of our Savior. And that is the offer of the gospel. But once the tribulation comes to an end, after that 7 years, then Scripture tells us that Jesus will come again in all his glory with his saints trailing behind him. That's you and me in glorified bodies if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. And so when he returns in great power, we will come with Jesus following after him so that we also can reign on the earth alongside Jesus Christ. At that moment, the Antichrist and false prophet will be thrown into the lake of fire. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and the surviving remnant of Israel, of course, we're told tragically that 2/3 of Israel will be killed during the tribulation, but 1/3 will endure, and that remnant will look upon him whom they have pierced, Jesus Christ, they will weep as over an only son, and they will cry out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And thus, as Paul says in Romans chapter 11, all Israel, all that remnant who endures will be saved. And this will usher in the millennial kingdom, followed by the eternity with Jesus Christ.
Oh, the millennial kingdom, Tim, is what I'm waiting for, where Jesus Christ physically rules and reigns on this earth from David's throne in Jerusalem. It's 1,000 years of peace and righteousness and justice. No war, endless bounty of food, so the Lord defeats homelessness and poverty as well. Sicknesses are lifted. Lifespans are like the trees in the hundreds of years. Those of us in our glorified bodies, the church, will rule and reign with Christ as administrators over his kingdom. Almost Edenic perfection will be restored. And then Satan is released at the end. Those who choose to rebel against Jesus will join him. The Lord just sends down fire and incinerates them, and that's the final judgment. You finally get to then he resurrects all those dead, and they face the great white throne judgment. And after that, the new heavens and the new earth come, and we enter the eternal state. So, you know, whew, Tim and I just gave you quite an overview in a very short nutcrack. But, Tim, we have a great chart that helps people with that, don't we?
We certainly do. We have a Bible prophecy chart that's contained within a new bifold resource we call An Overview of the End Times. And this chart is a very easy to follow, beautifully illustrated. It's full color outline of the seven periods of time, the seven major events that will happen during the tribulation, following the church age, and of course the rapture leading toward this millennial kingdom and the eternal state. But we would be glad to send you a copy of that chart. You can go to christinprophecy.org, or you can call us at 972-736-3567. Again, that's 972-736-3567, and tell them that you'd like to receive the Overview of the End Times bifold with the prophecy chart, and we would be delighted to send you a copy.
So the question, folks, that cannot be avoided. Jesus stood before his disciples and he asked them, who do you say I am? Matthew 16:15. Well, if the Bible is true, and Jesus is who he claimed to be, then his word about his soon return carries immense implications for your life. So who do you say that Jesus is? Folks, Bible prophecy is not a problem for those who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ. For us, the fulfilled prophecies are confirmation of that. The signs of the times are an invitation to lift our heads and look forward with anticipation to our redemption. However, for those who have not yet believed, Bible prophecy is an urgent warning to take God's word seriously before it's too late. Well, stay with us. Tim's going to come back with a final word of encouragement.
Studying Bible prophecy is an important practice for Christians who want to mature in their faith. At Lamb & Lion, we've compiled the best resources to help you explore and explain Bible prophecy. Our online store is stocked with insightful books and charts from authors such as Dr. David Reagan, Tim Moore, Nathan Jones, and more. So why not add a good Christian book to your library today or order one for a friend? Understand Bible prophecy better when you visit christinprophecy.org.
We began today's program with the game of hide-and-seek and the seeker calling out, ready or not, here I come. But friends, your salvation is not a game. Bible prophecy is an urgent warning. In John 14, Jesus promised to return. And in Revelation 22:12, he declared, behold, I am coming quickly. The fulfilled prophecies we examine today are not ancient curiosities. They are God's proof of his credibility. Through Bible prophecy, God is calling out to a skeptical world declaring, I said it, I did it, and everything else I've promised will come to pass just the same. But some people are afraid to face the fact that the Bible is true. They don't want to know what it means for their life. Perhaps that's you. Or perhaps they just don't want to come face to face with the decision of what to do with Jesus Christ. Pontius Pilate himself said, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Sooner or later, we all come face to face with the reality of Bible prophecy. With a believer, it is their blessed hope. But if you've been hiding from it, avoiding it, postponing it, telling yourself you'll deal with it someday, I want to tell you something gently but directly. The countdown is nearly finished. The signs are converging. History is moving toward a conclusion that was written before you were born. And ready or not is not a threat. It is an invitation. Jesus is coming back because he loves you, and because there is a place prepared for all who will receive him. As Paul wrote in Titus 2:13, we are looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Make today the day you settle the question he is still asking, who do you say that I am? For more resources on fulfilled prophecy and what Scripture says about the end times, visit us at christandprophecy.org. Until he comes, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, and Godspeed.